It's good to be here today. We live in a messy world right now. Things just seem to be out of kilter. People are worried about finances, talk of trade wars, and what will that mean for us? Chinese warships wandering around Australia shooting off weapons, and the war in Europe never seems to end. And we get the daily Trump news. Just everything seems out of kilter. It's good to be here. Good to be here with friends, with our Christian family. It's good to be here to hear good news. There doesn't seem to be a lot of that on the TV, so we need to hear the good news about God's love for us. And for Peter, he was on a mountain and he heard good news. It was a mountaintop experience. Some of you, we sometimes call a mountaintop experience one of those times when you feel God's presence in your life. It might happen at a Christian Life Week camp, or at some big fancy service, or out in the bush somewhere, or at a retreat, or singing a song, or a health crisis that you're spared from, or an accident that you're spared from. Times when you just feel like God showed up in your life. That's what happened to Peter, James, and John. They're up on a mountain, and they have an experience of God. And at the end, Peter says, it's good to be here. Why? Well, he had a really rough week. It started out with Jesus asks, who do people say I am? And Peter pipes up and says, you're the Christ. What does that mean? So Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Worse, he said, and if anyone wants to come with me, he must forget himself, take up his cross every day and follow me. Peter was not impressed. This is not what he wanted. He actually went crook at Jesus. He rebuked Jesus. He wanted a strong man, somebody like Putin or Trump, you know, someone who's really strong. He didn't want someone who's wimpy. Dying has got to be wimpy. Being arrested and beaten up has got to be wimpy. God wouldn't want his son Jesus to die as a weakling. It was right. Peter or Jesus? Is God into strong men or is God into the suffering servant? Well, 8 days later, God settles the argument. There on the mountaintop, Jesus is transfigured. The Greek is he's metamorphosized. It's the word we use for when a caterpillar changes to a butterfly. A caterpillar that grubs along and eats the leaves on your plants suddenly is flying around and pollinating the flowers. It's actually Jesus revealing who he really is all the time. Instead of it's like he's covered his glory. And a way to understand what's going on. This white lampshade, it's got a bit of glow to it, doesn't it? It's reflecting the light around it. But that is not the kind of glowing, and this is the kind of glowing that later when we hear Moses was on the mountain and saw God and he came back down and his face was glowing, it was reflected like the moon, right? It's not its own light. But what happened to Jesus was the light was coming from inside him out, through his clothes even, like this lampshade. Instead of reflecting the outside light, it was coming right from inside him. This is his true glory, the way he really is. Now, this is pretty unnerving. Be on a mountain and suddenly somebody goes, and they talk about it as being like lightning. You know how bright lightning is? It hurts your eyes? Like this isn't just a gentle glow. It's okay, so... So this is his metamorphosis. He's showing who he really is. And Moses and Elijah were there. They were also bright, but they were only reflected light rather than the cause of the light. Moses is the one who went up on the mountain. The cloud was there, and he gave the people the Ten Commandments. But he'd actually died 1,500 years before Jesus was born. But here he is. Well, this is what we're talking about when we say eternal life. He is not gone. He is there with Jesus. And Elijah had died 800 years before Jesus. And yet he is there. This is eternal life. Moses had given the people laws that they might get right with God, and yet they failed. So do we fail at trying to get right with God. And what are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus' Exodus. Oh, you've heard that word before, right? Isn't that the second book of the Bible? Exodus? That's when, it's our English word exit, right? Go out. So it's when Moses led the people out of Egypt and they became free. So that's interesting. Talk about Jesus' Exodus. That's going to give us some freedom. It also means his death. So two things happening here. Jesus' real glory is not the light. It's actually his sacrificial death. And we reward people who do sacrificial things. The policeman or the fireman who goes and rescues someone from a burning building, and they are putting themselves at risk. So Jesus is putting himself at risk for us. He's sacrificing himself for us. This is part of the plan of salvation, which Peter was saying no to. This is the fulfillment of the promise to Eve that one day there would be a human being born who would be the Satan crusher, who would crush Satan under his heel. Or the promise that came to Abraham and Jacob that they would be, through them, the whole world would be, the whole planet would be blessed. Or the promise to David that the Messiah would be one of his descendants. So then Moses and Elijah disappear and only Jesus is left there. That's because Moses and Elijah can't give us hope. They can't give us the plan of salvation. It's only Jesus. Anywhere else we look, we only find rules of what we ought to do, and there can be endless rules, even man-made rules of what you have to do when you go to church. Remember when women had to wear hats and gloves? Sit on different sides of the church? Not Bible rules, man-made rules, right? We love rules. There must be a way to do things the right way. Then we feel safe. No, just Jesus blows that all aside. The transfiguration is a glimpse of Jesus' true glory. And then this cloud comes, the glory cloud. This is the same cloud that was on Mount Sinai when Moses went up there. The people were terrified. It was like lightning. This is like eye-hurting. And so the disciples are terrified because when Moses was there, he asked God, show me your glory. Show me your face. And God answers, no one can see my face and live. And yet they are seeing Jesus' face when the light's coming out, when he is showing his total glory as God. And they are living. They see his face, his true glory, and yet they live. Other religions are always telling us, you know, how we ought to work our way up to God. If we say these prayers and make these sacrifices or don't eat this kind of food, we'll be able to get to God. Instead, Jesus is God coming to us. He is the bridge. God comes to us. He becomes a human being. He is a bridge because he is both a human and God at the same time. He is the true ruler of the universe. He is the true God. But the light is not his true glory. His true glory is a sacrificial death. As weird as that seems, this is what Peter would think is weak. Like here Jesus is bashed up, his hands and feet are bloodied, he's got welts, maybe tooth knocked out, and this is his true glory because it's a sacrificial death for us. Peter wanted to preserve this moment when he saw Jesus' radiant glory, the sunshine, the lightning look. And so he goes, let's build three shelters here and keep you here. We'll never go down, right? If you've ever been to a youth camp, you know, you don't want to go home. It's so awesome. You don't have your annoying parents around. It's so awesome. Well, they don't want to go down. They wanted the victory now. But Jesus' plan of salvation is his real glory, which means he has to go back down. That cloud is the same one that was there when on Mount Sinai. It was also there when Jesus was baptized. And the voice says, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. So Peter had said, you're not allowed to be weak, you know. You can't sacrifice yourself. We want a Putin-type character, a conqueror. And God has to say to Peter, listen to him. This is the real deal here, the plan of salvation. Listen to him, the true plan of salvation. Because of Jesus' death for you, God delights in you. Right? You are purchased by his Son. He delights in you. And yet, in our life, when people criticize us, you know, we just fall in a heap. Oh, no, they said mean things about me, and we think about it night and day, and we toss in our bed. Or we're anxious about things. Are bad things going to happen? Will our money disappear? You know, what's going to happen? Or we have to prove ourselves to our husband, to our wife, to our children, to our workmates. We're worthy. And we get crabby about it all. We learned in Sunday school that Jesus loves us, but we forget, don't we? We don't trust those words. They're just too simple. And so we keep trying to earn it all instead. The plan of salvation is Jesus' true glory. He became a human being for you. He did his miracles for you. He taught the parables for you. He was betrayed for you. He suffered for you. He died on the cross for you. He rose from death for you to promise you life forever. God loves you. This is the good news. And his promise that I am with you always, even if you are in sickness or in pain or in trouble, stuffed up, even if there's war, earthquake, floods, droughts, I am with you. Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection says, in spite of all your stuff-ups, God delights in you. In spite of all your failings, all your stuff-ups, all your problems, God is besotted with you, willing to sacrifice his Son for you. That's how precious you are. Jesus' death is God's way of saying, I love you. You are my son. You are my daughter. Bit of lolly there, it must be. Peter said, it's good to be here. We need to hear these words again and again and again. It's good to be here. We need to hear it again. And yet we can't stay here, can we? We have to go back out. We have to go back out where the work is. So Jesus didn't allow them to stay on the mountain. They had to go back down to the plain. And when they get there, there's a boy who's being oppressed by an evil spirit. And Jesus heals him. They had to go out and do the work. So it's good for us to be here, but the real work is outside. People are hurting out there. They don't know that Jesus loves them. They didn't even hear it in Sunday school. They need to hear about the plan of salvation, that God loves them, that Jesus died for them. The promise that God is with them always. So mountaintop experiences are beautiful. You know, the almost car accidents, the remarkable recovery from sickness, the remarkable things that happen in our life, the beautiful experiences, they're great, but they're only to help us, empower us to go back out to where, you know, you don't get muscles by sitting in front of the telly. You actually have to do something. And the same as a Christian, yes, we get fed here, but yeah, if you only get fed, you just get fat. You actually have to use the calories, right? So we get fed, but we actually have to go out and do the work. We grow as we struggle out there, and we do struggle. It might be the death of a friend, a health scare in your own life, or a family member, pain or financial challenges. It's out there that we grow, and it's out there that we can share. Yes, it's good to be here, but we need to go back out because we want to joyfully bring God's love, peace, and healing to all. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.